So today I'd like to discuss the source of morality and to share a tool that I use to help sort right from wrong. According to renowned scientist Stephen Jay Gould, in science, fact can only mean, quote, confirmed to such a degree that it would be perverse to withhold provisional consent. The evidence that all humans interact within moral systems, in my opinion, meets this standard. In today's readings, Hobbes and Dennett both offer commentary on the possible source of our human morality. In Hobbes' view, there is no innate reason or even justification for treating our fellows kindly. He builds an argument that it is in our own interest to have a totalitarian ruler, because otherwise we will all suffer at one another's hands. It is an intriguing argument, but I don't think it holds up to modern evidence of moral systems in all places and at all times. Dennett argues against dualism, wherein our better nature comes from an immortal soul or some other external source. If one doesn't need a soul to be fully human in the spiritual sense, then it follows that our morality comes from no external source either. I think that Dennett would agree with me that morality is, at least primarily, an evolved attribute of our species. Of course, many contemporary thinkers, along with most people through history, simply assume that right and wrong come from God, and the trick is to figure out what he wants. I would like to put the explicit source of morality, be it biology, deity, or proclaimed regent, to one side and start with the question that matters most to me. What is morality for? I call this approach the hepatic theory of morality. Slightly tongue-in-cheek. After all, if we want to truly understand our livers, the fact that they can raise our serum glucose and remove poison from our blood are not terribly meaningful if it is supposed to be moving blood through our circulatory system. And how can one answer, is adding sugar to my bloodstream good or bad, without asking to what end? Perhaps your liver is an invasive parasite flooding your system with sugar to your detriment for some nefarious purpose of its own. So I assert that in order to have any hope of understanding our moral system, we need to ask, what is it for? Notice that it doesn't matter much if it came from God, or it was evolved, or was imposed with our consent by a king. Creationists and biologists both agree that the liver has real functions, and we determine if it is working correctly according to whether those functions are being carried out the way they should be. A common misperception about natural selection is that because individuals or perhaps genes are selected, that is, survive, according to Huxley's survival of the fittest, evolution of cooperation is ruled out. Richard Dawkins demonstrates why this is not true with the analogy of the rowing team. If we are selecting for teams that reach the finish line first, individuals that can pull hard on the oars will be expected to do well. However, if the strongest rower cannot stay in sync with the other rowers, that rower's boat will lose, and said rower will have been selected out of the next stage of the competition. My point is, being able to cooperate is critically important to genes and to organs and to entire human beings. Those of us who work best with other human beings do best, even in the strictly biological sense, including at the level of individual. So there you have it, friends. The purpose of morality is to cause us to do things that help us get along with other human beings. Since I am firmly convinced that this statement is true, I approach moral conundrums by asking, will doing or not doing this action help, hinder, or be neutral as far as people getting along with other people? Sometimes the answers align quite nicely with traditional morality, other times not so much. Let me give a simple example and then one that's more ambiguous. Is it wrong to kill someone to take their stuff? The Unitarian Universalist answer is that it is wrong because the victim's inherent worth as a human being is violated. In another moral system, more information might be needed. Is the victim running off with a serum that can save 100 lives? What if she owns it but is determined to let those people die anyway? A nihilist might argue that none of it makes any difference since we're all going to die anyway. Now ask instead whether one person killing another increases or decreases cooperation. Well, the victim won't be cooperating with anyone, so that's one strike against. What about the other people the killer interacts with? Even if the murder seems perfectly justified by some other standard, they will never fully trust that person again. Strike two. And even the killer himself will become, and not herself, because they're mostly men, will become withdrawn and less inclined to interact with others, lest he be found out or judged. The hepatic theory draws a clear line from murder to wrong. Is it wrong to abort a viable human fetus? Many people who engage in this moral debate take absolute positions. The well-known extreme positions are, it's growing in my body, it's my decision, and the law has no right to say otherwise, and it's a human being and may not be harmed no matter what. I think the hepatic theory gives a more nuanced answer, and I don't mean to imply that there are not nuanced answers besides mine. Remember, I'm offering a tool, not an answer, because I'm not smart enough to have all the answers. Here's how I sum up the impact on cooperation. First of all, the potential person. I do not think the situation is analogous to the murder victim. In biology, apoptosis, programmed cell death, is a common cooperative element necessary to everyone's growth and development. When hospital corpsman third class Edward Clyde Benfold sacrificed his own life by carrying live hand grenades away from other soldiers, it was an ultimate act of cooperation. So I will put the object of the action aside for this consideration. Next, what about the law that tells the woman what she has to do with her own body? Making a law telling someone what to do with her own body is definitely anti-cooperation and therefore, from my point of view, morally wrong. I think that the people represented by Johnny Take Away Their Rights lawmaker truly and sincerely find abortion abhorrent. Although I don't think the yuck factor is enough to base a decision on, I also think it's likely that the 250,000 years of evolution behind that reaction are smarter than I am, and therefore it should be taken into consideration. More to the point here is that doing something that millions of well-meaning people find abhorrent is anti-cooperation. My conclusion, based on my use of the purpose tool, is that the deliberate abortion of a potential human being is morally wrong in this society, in this time, in the sense that it is something better not done when there is an alternative. Since both sides of this argument are both right and wrong, my tool doesn't give a clear answer. It does, however, show me that I am comparing one wrong against another rather than right to wrong. I have found that enough to make practical decisions that I have to make as citizen and sire. Again, I mean to demonstrate how the tool is used, and you may reach quite different conclusions. My hope is not that you will come to agree with me, and it has no practical effect, since I clearly have no right to decide for someone else, but that you will add this tool as a way to help clarify moral questions for yourself.